red zone. Hit me like a bomb,
bomb, bomb. Wall dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello! Welcome to the show!
Hello!
As you probably know, we're the favorites to be the winning racers tomorrow in the Cannonball race, which is going to be important. Good evening, ladies.
Evening.
Hello.
My name is J.J. McClure. This is my... Because if I had enough time, I would take those rosary bleeds and stuff them up your nose.
These bleeds?
Those bleeds, yeah.
You gonna take these bleeds and shove them up?
I'd take these bleeds here.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Yesterday, the great Burt Reynolds died. And his best role, arguably, in terms of being an actor, was Boogie Nights. Apparently, a role he hated.
Oh, you see, I thought he loved Boogie Nights. See, that's interesting to me.
Well, according to Yahoo, before you get in your email, and they have an article, Mark Wahlberg claims that he absolutely hated that movie.
Oh.
Even though he was nominated for an Oscar.
He was great in that. Although, you're saying that's, in your opinion, his best role? You would put that past Hooper? I mean,
or Gator?
Well, Gator's the best.
Gator.
So yesterday, okay, and I mean this in all sincerity. There's no one who has better movie posters than Burt Reynolds.
See, the problem is, I saw you tweet that, and then I went down the rabbit hole. I started looking. Oh. Even Stroke of Race is good.
Oh, Stroke of Race is the best. So like, Gator's got him like, you know, he was like a Bayou warrior, and he was holding a machine gun, and there's this scantily clad lady holding on to him, and he's like kicking an alligator with his right foot, and get ready to just fire this sucker off with his left. And then there was Malone, which is just him with an Uzi with fire behind him. There was one I almost couldn't put out there. I didn't want to tweet because it was such a like a horribly sexist poster. Hang on, what was the name of it? It was a football movie that was it's not The Longest Yard.
Right.
It's a different football movie, and it's him and another guy. I think it might be Kris Kristofferson, which, of course, both those dudes were the epitome of machismo in the 70s. Right.
Back when you could have a hairy chest.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And be considered a man.
Without a doubt.
Which I always contend, if men like breasts, it's evolutionary. Because breasts mean fertility. Breasts are something men that shouldn't have, like big ones. And that a hairy chest should be attractive to a woman because it means masculinity.
Here it is. It's called Semi-Tough.
Oh, yeah. I saw that movie.
Of course, I remember that movie, too. But the picture, if you look, are like these three chicks in bikinis. And they have one of them's got a football. And it looks like they're the quarterbacks, both Kris Kristofferson and Burt Reynolds. But it basically looks like they're doing them at the same time.
Oh, why would you be afraid to put that up? I mean, it's all consensual.
Well, I mean,
there's three women and two guys. Oh. Obviously, they're going to split one of them.
It says, it's the world's greatest game, and it sure ain't football. It's doing it.
Yeah, it's go knocking the boots.
I mean, his posters were the best. And I went back and I watched, you know, some of what we just played there, the outtakes from Cannonball Run, which, of course, were fantastic because 50% of it is him just slapping Dom DeLuise in the face.
Right. That was during the credits at the end, too.
The idea that they couldn't hang on to without laughing at that incredibly inane, non-funny crap is fantastic. The idea that Burt Reynolds found Dom DeLuise that funny is fascinating.
Well, the thing that they found funny And everyone on the set was just, I'm going to slap this guy over and over again. It's just, let's get the fat guy and slap him.
I remember watching that. I'm like, why don't you just walk away or hit these guys with a brick or something? What are you doing?
I mean, Dom DeLuise, it's like, you do enough of that. I thought he was going to show up like with a baseball bat.
Seriously.
And start taking out kneecaps.
Go postal on these guys.
But I didn't really realize it. For some reason, it took me a while to just finally figure out that like 50% of the outtakes were him just slapping Dom DeLuise.
Yeah. Yep.
And then like dying laughing about it. But there was also something that I'd completely forgotten about. If you don't remember, Burt Reynolds had one of the all-time great late-night talk show host appearances.
Dinah Shore?
No.
Who he dated, even though she was like 70 and he was at the height of his sexual powers?
I don't remember.
Oh, he dated Dinah Shore.
I don't remember.
Dinah Shore had a afternoon show, and she was probably about 50. And Burt Reynolds was probably about 30. And he was at the height of his machismo, his masculinity, the height of his fame.
Mm-hmm.
He did an appearance. Oh, well, now here's a rabbit hole you can go down today.
Okay.
He was at the height of his fame. And he did an appearance where they're basically, like, about to have sex. Like, there's this energy there that's not going away. And he dated Dinah Shore for, like, 2 years during his prime, and she was legitimately like 50. And by the way, no like Raquel Welch kind of MILF situation. This was just like a woman next door. And that was the Red Man for you. And it's funny because I bought his biography about 2 months ago. I'll never read it.
The Burt Reynolds biography?
Oh, yeah.
When he says, like, Sally Field is the big one that got away.
If that's written by the right guy, like, if you got it.
It's him.
Oh, so it's just him?
Well, I mean,
I might be pretty good.
Well, it starts off with, I think it's Kris Kristofferson talking about what a wild man Burt was. Who was in Deliverance besides Ned Beatty?
That would be John Voight.
It's John
Ned
Voight.
Beatty.
It's John Voight. And they talk about like how kick-ass Burt was, and he like wouldn't slow the car down, and he was doing all this crazy stuff. But then that idiot Burt goes, listen, I'm not here to tell all. And then you're like, all right, well, thanks.
His standard of not telling all? Like, I mean, he was like such a 70s, like very publicly Mr. Captain Stud. You would think that his standard would be a lot lower than most people.
I don't know. I'm going to have run out of every book that I have.
But you read the book of The Drummer of Rat that it looked like he printed out himself, didn't you?
It was so. But that was like sitting down watching The Room.
Okay, all right. It was so bad that you had to see it.
Yeah, that was like as soon as
like the Gotti movie, yes.
Yeah, okay. If you don't know this, drummer from Rat, Bobby Blotzer, wrote a book, and he self-published it. So it was, he quite literally probably made it at Kinko's. And it had like pages where it would be like page 112 three times. And there was a chapter about his rug cleaning business.
That's kind of funny.
Oh, kind of? I had a pretty sweet side gig. You know, these MILFs would have the Blotz man come over and they'd want me to clean two rugs.
Yeah.
One with my tongue and one with my machine.
Okay. It's the name of one of the Rat singles, as a matter of fact, off the Detonator album. I might be the only person who ever bought. But there was one appearance that Burt Reynolds did on late night television that's just phenomenal. Did you see when he was the first guest? You know how like they have the A-list guest and then the B-list guest comes on and A-list moves over to the left while B-list talks? Well, it was on Jay Leno's Tonight Show. Probably it was way early in the Jay Leno experiment. Obviously, the guy
might
was
have even been guest hosted.
So Burt Reynolds is sitting there, and Mark Summers of Double Dare shows up. Now, there's two things that everyone knows about Mark Summers. Number one, he has massive, massive obsessive compulsion, like crippling. Like he's one of those guys that if there's a speck of dirt on something, it ruins his day. Which is ironic because he was on Double Dare, where it was all about slime and all the gook and all that stuff. So the other thing we know about him is he's a colossal douchebag. So Burt Reynolds is sitting on one side of the couch. I'm going to play this later on because it's great. And Mark Summers starts talking about how he's like afraid of messes. And Burt Reynolds starts making fun of him. and they get into a water fight. Burt Reynolds takes his cup of water and dumps it onto Mark Summers. And then Mark Summers gets pissed up, and when he tries to pour it on to Burt Reynolds, Burt Reynolds ain't having none of it. He, like, slaps it out of his hand. Dude, it's great. Like, they actually got into, like, a fight, and it went on for, like, 4 minutes. They just started yelling at each other, and, like, Burt Reynolds, like, kept saying, like, I'm going to punch you right in the teeth. I mean, it was great. And Mark Summers, once again, has a complete inability to be likable. Unless he's, of course, asking kids to crawl through a giant peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And Burt Reynolds is just, you know, who's this girly man who's sitting next to me? Dude, it's awesome.
Have you seen the new Double Dare?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, yes. It's a woman who walks across the stage and deals with everything. And Mark Summers is about 200 yards away from everything.
He is in his valley of safety.
He just kind of shows up. He really doesn't.
He's at a podium.
Yeah. I mean, just.
He's at a podium that's like 100, literally 100 easily. Yards away from everything that's going
that's
on.
That's right. Yeah. They just said, listen, I know that you will have a fit in front of a bunch of children if one of these little things of peanut butter comes and shoots and hits you on the hand.
But we need you to be recognizable, so stand over there.
You didn't need him.
Of course not. But that's what the producer thought. I mean, there's no need to have him on the new show at all.
He's like a producer of the show, and like they had to get him involved in order to get the rights to Double Dare.
I think the nostalgia factor and having parents tune in is probably more of it. But Burt Reynolds, not an excellent actor, not a huge canon of films.
Who made a few legitimately great movies.
What do you guys think of Sharky's Machine?
Well, Sharky's Machine was funny.
I loved it.
He had a run of like really cheesy action movies.
Rachel Ward in that movie, too, by the way. Very good.
See, like, Cannonball Run is funny to watch. Like, if it's on, you laugh at it, okay?
For the wrong reason.
Hooper is a legit... That's a great movie. Like, Hooper is a really funny movie that still holds up today. Deliverance, that's a great movie.
But that's an ensemble cast. But, yes, he was very good in Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights, great movie. I mean, you look at some of the movies he did, 80% of it was just, like, cheesy trash. But there's 20% that... You're enjoying yourself if you're watching. Stroke Race. Are you turning the channel?
No.
Stroke Race is on?
No. Yes. No, I'm not.
Of course not.
Nope.
No.
I'll give you Smokey and the Bandit 1.
Oh, Smokey and the Bandit 1 was... Yeah. That's a great movie. Yeah.
Like, but his performance in that is so corny.
But it makes it work. I mean...
But it's not a traditionally good movie. But listen, I've watched it recently.
Good is subjective. Good is if you are not turning the channel if it's on. And that is, like, that wins. If Smokey and the Bandit's on TV, you're not changing the channel.
Plus, it makes absolutely no sense. The whole thing makes no sense. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up with last night?
Oh, guess what? Tom Brady and his best buddy are back. The chemistry can't be denied. Tom Brady and Jim Gray sit out there and bust it out for some of the best uncomfortable radio you've ever heard. On top of that, football was back, and so were a zillion penalties.
All right. We will have that for you in just a moment.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on? What happened?
Well, what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Enjoy a large or extra large Dunkin' coffee for a chance to win great prizes today. No purchase necessary. 13 plus. Ends October 15th or while supplies last. For game piece and official rules, visit sippeelwin.com. So in 2 days, we finally get to move on from the Tom versus Time, the offseason drama, and finally get to football as the Patriots get things started against the Texans. Team captains were selected yesterday, and James White and Patrick Chung were elected for the first time, joining David Andrews, Devin McCourty, Matthew Slater, and, of course, Tom Brady. Now, I heard some people yesterday ripping on the fact that they elected Tom Brady captain despite doing the bare minimum with the team this offseason, which I actually understand, but what? Are they not going to select Tom Brady? I mean, that was
the point. No, you don't.
No, you do.
Due to my calculations,
I do understand that there are some people for some reason who are very, very upset.
I'm a captain based on my ability to play 6 plays a game.
That's right, Matthew Slater. Although I wonder if they're going to have to use you because there's not anyone.
If they do, we are completely screwed.
That is the truth. However,
math.
Lots of math. However, one thing Tom Brady is the team captain of is amazingly awkward interviews with his buddy Jim Gray.
Which I contend might not be them speaking at the same time. I contend that Brady might get the questions, answer them, and then Gray goes back and asks the questions.
What? It doesn't sound that way at all.
We are very pleased to once again tell you that five-time Super Bowl champion and current NFL MVP, the best quarterback in the history of the National Football League, Tom Brady, will once again join us every Monday night throughout the pregame, and he's with us here tonight. Tommy, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Great talking to you. I'm happy we're back. We got another year, man. Can you believe it? Thanks, Jeff Gannett, for continuing your support. Everyone at Macy's who contributes to our program and all the great listeners, and I know it's going to be a great season for us, too.
Okay, well, that sounds great.
I'm not convinced that they're talking together live.
Right. It's almost like, it's not almost like, it sounds as if Jim Gray reads a thing of questions, gives it to the producer.
Yes.
And then whoever Tom Brady's people is, or Tom Brady, sees the questions, figures out answers, and just answers them over the phone on a recording device.
Yes.
And then they mash the two together.
Yes, I'm almost convinced that's the way they do it. I don't think that it's taped live at all.
I want to hear him interrupt Jim Gray once. Just to see if it happens.
Good question, Jim.
Well, listen.
I'm glad you asked me that.
Yes. This segment is brought to you by me licking your boots, Tom. What more can I do?
Greatest quarterback of all time.
Well, Mr. Brady did mention in Tom versus Time they didn't have much fun the last 2 years.
What'd you mean by that, Tom?
So, first of all, how do you change it if it hasn't been much fun with that being the result? And second of all, what caused that?
Well, I think there's a lot of, when you play football, I mean, I love the sport. I love being on the field. I love, playing the game. And I think sometimes it can feel like there's a lot of other obligations that come along with football, that if you let those take too much of a impact or toll, you can bring those onto the field. And, I think being in it for 19 years, I've grown a lot. I've learned a lot. And it comes down to prioritization. And I think this off season was great for me to really spend a lot of time with my family, catching up on some things that I've never had opportunities to do, to really refocus and re-energize for what really is a marathon of a season. And it's a lot of energy and effort that you put out, and you want to have everything in your tank ready to go. And the thing that I'm excited...
I'll spoil it for you. He keeps going for a while and doesn't answer that question. Spoiler alert. Kind of did a little dance.
Yeah. There. It's really... the offseason, you want to recharge a little bit.
Sure. I mean, and once again, he's dancing around a question that is being posed because he brought it up. So this isn't like, something that's completely allowed. I mean, he's the one who said that he didn't have as much fun over the last 2 years, and when asked why...
Do you have the audio of Jim Gray when they did the live thing?
That mamby-pamby? We're going to get all mamby-pamby out here?
We're going to stop that mamby-pamby BS.
Dan, could you pull that up over there if you don't mind?
The mamby-pamby BS. Now let's cut to the quick.
Well, and then Tom was asked about his relationship with Bill Belichick amidst all of the reporting there being tension, and Tom...
Tom drops a bombshell?
He gave Jim Gray all the goods.
Tom, there's been so much back and forth regarding your relationship with the organization and Bill Belichick over the summer. Where is it now today as you get ready for the season to start?
I'm excited about the year. Every year is a fresh start in the NFL, and every team is starting at the same place. And my goals, Coach Belichick's goals, our team goals are the same as what they've always been. And I'm excited about where we're at. We've worked hard to get to this point. Every NFL team has worked hard to get to this point. Everything that's been talked about before this particular day is in the past.
You know what he should have said that?
Are we going to be cliche ridden and mamby pamby bullshit, or are we going to light it up?
Oh, you better light it up, boys.
Are we going to light it up here on stage? Come on. Let's light it up. Hot-blooded, let's go, Tommy B. Hot-blooded for the world to see.
Like the big band version of Hot-Blooded.
Yeah.
Showtime Berman just showed up.
Gray is hot-blooded tonight.
Showtime Berman.
No mamby-pamby BS in this room. You want to get shocked? It's happening soon. If he doesn't answer, I'll whip it out. Come on, baby. You gotta shout. I'm the gray man. Okay. We can do a bunch of mamby-pamby BS, or are we going to have you dodge questions?
Are we going to be cliche-ridden and mamby-pamby bullshit, or are we going to light it up?
I unfortunately do not have a big band version of Hot Blooded to play.
Well, that's a shame.
With, like, legs kicking and everything behind
it's
them.
Like, now that we're at the McDonald's convention for the owners and franchisees, I think we're in the perfect situation to get past all the mamby-pamby BS.
And light it up.
And light it up.
Well, unfortunately, the radio magic had to end, so we had to hear our favorite Odd Couple end things in the smoothest of ways.
All right, Tom, we're so thrilled to have you once again this season, and we look forward to talking to you at halftime.
Thanks. I look forward to talking to you as well, and enjoy the first half of the game, and I'll speak to you guys soon.
Okay, well, they're not talking. They're not talking.
I don't know. I think that they might be on the phone at the same time, but I do believe that there are scripts involved.
Well, that I would offer you a finger to remove if those weren't vetted questions.
Well, sure. I mean, he gets sent, obviously, all of the questions, and I think Tom Brady either writes down the answers or notes for him to hit, and I think that, you know, and that's the reason why there's no interrupting of each other, is that they both, like, here's your part, here's where you speak, here's where I speak.
I honestly think that there's at least half the season they're on the phone together. John, go ahead.
Rich was about.
Well, I'm sorry, man. I think he said, Rich, you're the best. I think it's the only thing we only got out of
that's what it said on the screen. Said, Rich, you're the best.
That's why we take those calls first.
That's right.
That's right. So, so you got, by the way, speaking of all of that, and we're going to get to what happened on Thursday Night Football last night. I just saw something flash across the screen, and it reminded me. So after everything that happened with Papa John's, and you know how they are no longer the official sponsor of the NFL, Papa John's is like, you know, apparently, he said the N-word during some conference call, and now he's got his own Save Papa John's website where, you know, well, the people want him back.
He's a GoFundMe page.
How could that go wrong, we've learned as of late. But Pizza Hut came in and basically just laid a haymaker to Papa John's. Did you see the commercial they ran last night?
No.
It was like, it looked like a United Colors of Benetton ad. It was like, We love all races. Pizza's for everyone. I mean, it could have been more of a middle finger to Papa John's. It was like, white people, black people, Asian, doesn't matter. Everyone loves pizza. Come here and work. We want everyone to enjoy
it. So you're telling me as a business, national, international business, that you want all races to participate?
It's a fairly bold statement by Pizza Hut yesterday.
I mean, at least exclude some religion.
I could just see. I was just imagining Papa John, much like Sylvester Stallone in Rocky IV, just getting so pissed off at that he got in his sweet-ass Camaro and cranked No Easy Way Out, and just was imagining all the great moments being there with Peyton Manning when he was with the NFL.
And then the robot came up and said, "What can I do for you, Papa John?" Papa John, robot has four holes.
Okay.
What? You got a sick mind.
I do. That's the first thing I thought of. That's the first thing I thought of. And I don't know why, but I'm not backing down. That's what I thought of.
Papa John, I am here for your pleasure.
Happy birthday, indeed.
Papa John.
This is Papa John's sex bot?
Yes, that's exactly what this is. I didn't say that.
I'll say it. That's exactly what this is.
I didn't say that.
That's what it is.
I just said how it was mechanically made. Papa John's
PleasureBot 2000. Yeah. Papa John's PleasureBot 2000.
Yep. Come on, Papa John. I miss you.
That's Papa.
Papa John, can you please oil my tank?
We've got Papa Bot.
Papa Bot 2000. Would you like me to start the Camaro? Papa. Papa John, I'm here for your pleasure. Anything you need. Papa John, I can contort my body into any position Not now, robot. But, John, why are you not allowing me what I am programmed to do? Papa John, I have a silk robe on.
What?
Papa John, would you like me to turn on Headed for a Heartbreak by Winger? Do get in the mood. Papa John, would you like to play Big Sausage Pizza?
I guess that's our Pleasure Bot 2000 song.
Yes.
Papa's Pleasure Bot.
All right.
I'll make all the pain go away.
Would you like me to invite my friends from the Rocket video?
Would you like a Meat Lover special?
All right. Very good. We can go over what happened last night. What a fantastic game. And what a harbinger for wonderful things to come this season. Was the game last night. Here are the headlines.
Merciless warlord of the deep determines that this is the golden moment to attack.
Yeah, I be rolling, holding my sword, Lord, I be zoning, going hard in the moment. Only God can control them. I told them it's not a game. Show them the how to flame. They broken, I got them smoking. He's spoken a lot of things, saying who the boss. Stupid till you prove it, it's talk. I'm Anakin before the dark side. Move them with force, of course, ready, steady, winning.
The sports up. We are Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what else is going on?
Are you ready for some momentum stopping penalties?
I was.
12. We've got double coverage again. Ryan for Jones, and no. Couldn't stay in. Darby with the coverage, and that is the way opening night ends.
All right, I'll admit, I was way more excited than I should have been for the return of football.
I'll tell you this, Rich, is that I turned on the game at 8:30, wasn't excited to see that bands I never heard of were playing. And then I go, 9 o'clock, this thing started. And I watched the Atlanta's first drive where they were moving the ball well. Julio Jones, big star, gets a few catches. Then they fail. Then I completely zoned out.
Well, I don't blame you because...
I went to bed, which I had to. I went to bed with about 10 minutes left in the third quarter.
Well, it was very tough to watch. Instead of a football game last night, we got a giant rain-delayed kick in the nuts. The Falcons, Eagles, and referees bumbled their way all around Thursday night football. But with the game starting about 40 minutes after it was supposed to, both teams finally took the field. The Falcons said, wow, we're awful in the red zone and can't score.
You were talking about Julio Jones, who had 10 catches for 169 yards last night, the genius Steve Sarkisian on third and fourth and
69,
goal.
69, is that what you would like? Papa John.
Right.
You know the robot can feel pleasure.
Is this Papa's Pleasure Bot?
Papa's Pleasure Bot.
Okay, just to make you feel better after you saw that Pizza Hut commercial essentially dancing on your grave as the NFL sponsor.
I will give you a hint. WD-40 or pain on your end.
Okay, all right. Let's stop right there.
Whoa. Oh, John, you suck.
I do like the Pleasure Bot.
I just got blindsided. I wasn't ready for that. It's my fault.
Under the bus a little bit hard.
Well, Nick Foles even said, hey, I can't believe I'm the guy that beat the Patriots the Super Bowl, and the refs threw flags. A lot of them. How about 16 penalties for 134 yards in first half alone?
All right, so I'm going to Monday Night Football. It's a 7:10 in quotation.
10:45.
No.
10:45 is when the game ends.
No. This is going to start on time. The reason is that they have to double stack Monday Night Football
it's
in the first week.
10:45 is when the game ends.
No, you're going to.
So how long do I last at the game? Because I'm not sitting at a game for 3 hours and 45 minutes. I can assure you of that.
But 9:15.
Yeah, that's realistic.
Into halfway through the third, right?
Unless it's a nail biter.
Yeah, if it's a barn burner, then maybe you'd stick around. Right. But if you aren't already at barf status watching yesterday's 18-12 win by the Eagles, this play would definitely have you grabbing the bag.
This time, the give goes to Clement on a reverse. Aguilar fires to Foles, and Foles out of bounds at the 25.
it's the Philly special. Remember that? That was like Doug Peterson saying, you know, I heard Philadelphia likes to party. Here's our biggest hit. And boy, were they proud of themselves for running that play afterwards, too. Here's Doug Peterson. Remember, of course, that's the one where Nick Foles catches the ball and everyone's like,
the one that Brady couldn't handle.
Well, that's true. Here's Doug Peterson saying how, despite what you saw, that wasn't the Philly special.
Well, it was a play we had put in for this week. It was a play that was in our third down menu. We were on the correct hash mark, and it was the right time of the game.
What do you call it?
Philly. What's the play?
Oh, Philly, much like Dilly Dilly. I can't hate that answer any more than I do. But wait, there's more. We all know Captain Fun Lane Johnson, of course, who gave us such hits as the Patriots don't have fun anymore, and those preseason Patriots fans are going to give us the business. And hey, remember that time we beat the Patriots? What do you think he said about yesterday's play, John Wallach?
I think that he had said it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun to execute.
He said it wasn't the Philly special. It was the same play the Patriots used, the one that Tom Brady dropped. Go!
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true.
True. Yeah. Middle of the field. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely.
It's funny.
Correct.
If anyone but Lane Johnson had said that, I'd be like, all right, fine. Listen, people still wear 28-3 shirts all over. You win, you get to rub it in.
Sure.
But Lane Johnson just like, that's his thing. That's his thing now. I'm captain. Listen, we beat the Patriots. And then there's the infuriating Atlanta Falcons. And their infuriating play calling and their infuriating quarterback. The team is the best team in the NFL in getting into the red zone in record time. I don't have any evidence of that. It just feels that way. And then when they get there, they just drop trowel and take a big old dump. If you think I'm exaggerating, Matt Ryan in the red zone yesterday was 1-for-8 with an interception. 1-for-8! On top of that, on their first drive, as you mentioned, they took out Julio Jones.
On 3rd and 4th and goal from the 2, they made no pretense. They put 3 tight ends in the game both times. Jones was catching passes left and right. Philadelphia was powerless to stop him, so Sarkisian has him taken off the field.
Sarkisian is not a good offense quarterback.
Oh, my Lord.
No. But I will tell you this. If you have 2 plays and you can't score from the 2, running up the gut.
Oh, dude.
That's an offensive line problem.
Well, also on top of, well, it's more than that, too, because Matt Ryan has this weird thing going on with Julio Jones. As a matter of fact, Matt is 1-for-20 targeting Julio Jones in the end zone over the last 2 seasons.
You know when that catch was?
How
the catch was against the Patriots at the end of the game.
That's right.
That was that one. The one touchdown catch was against the Patriots. It didn't matter. Atlanta was out of the game, but that's the one.
How is that even possible? I mean, Julio Jones is one of the best weapons in the game, and how can they be 1-for-20 in the red zone?
They're not enough field. They double team them. All I know is that if you have the ball, if you have 2 downs and you're on the 2, I have absolutely no problem with you running up the middle.
At least have the defense think about a pass, though. Defense didn't have to think about a pass on either play.
I just, as a football player, you should be able to push a pile a yard 2 times. I mean, you should.
Yes, of course. And they did that twice, and they had to settle for one time they went for it on 4th down, and 1 time they kicked a field goal. But that right there is why Tom Brady's underpaid, my friends. So $20 million for Matt Ryan, and he can't make it work with one of the best receivers
in the
league.
A lot of people, I looked at this, because we're having Brinson on today, I looked at a lot of the predictions for the different awards. No one picked the Patriots to win the Super Bowl. No one picked anyone from the AFC to win the Super Bowl. A lot of MVP votes for Matt Ryan, they're predicting.
MVP? You see, I've heard the opposite. I've heard that now that he's not in the same system that he had with Shanahan. Shanahan was one of the reasons for his success. Yeah. They're saying that if you look at the precipitous drop between the year he went to the Super Bowl and then last year, that you could say maybe he's a system guy.
The reasoning is people consider what he did last year to be a bad season, but if you measure it against other quarterbacks, it was fine.
Well, Julio Jones is healthy this year also. Yes. He was banged up all of last year.
Well, on top of that, after all the back and forth this offseason, we still don't know what a catch is. In the first quarter, there was an Eagles catch where the receiver had the ball pinned to his chest, yet the ball hit the ground when he landed, and the officials called it a catch, and I was like, wow, we finally fixed this stupid rule. All right, then the spirit of a catch, that should be it. And then Julio Jones makes an amazing catch, one that is bobbled nonetheless, but he lands inbounds with the ball on his chest after falling on his back, and the officials say, nah, no catch. It was enough to make you want to throw the TV out your window. There's no standards. Nobody knows what anyone's doing. And let's not even talk about the green zone. Did you see that last night?
What was that about?
What is the point of the green zone?
Anybody?
Yeah, okay. So
I couldn't figure it out.
For people who didn't watch it, what the green zone is, it's a darkened area of the field that leads up to where you'd get your first down. From the line of scrimmage to first down, and as obviously yardage gets shorter, the green zone gets shorter. Why do you need that if you have a yellow line for first down?
Because it's cool.
Apparently.
Green is very pleasing color.
I guess so. I guess that's the reason. But unbelievable. It was just a poor way for the season to start, with a poor game where there were way too many flags being thrown. We still don't know what a catch is. And the highlight was obviously a commercial by Pizza Hut dancing on the grave of Papa John.
By the way, if you if you're watching games that you have no stake in, God bless you.
First game of the season. I
phased it out. It was boring.
Well, it was bad.
It was atrociously boring.
6-3 at the half, I believe. And yeah, the one exciting play the Eagles was fans taken away.
Booed their team off the field. On the night that they raised a Super Bowl banner,
yeah,
Eagles fans booed their team off the field at halftime.
It was completely boring. Rich, what do we have coming up?
Oh, there's an ex-basketball player who's talking smack.
Oh, boy.
Let's get ready.
All right, so we will discuss that post-haste.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, the Lord. All night Sunday Central. Follow me now. Listen, say hi, Dick. Yes, you're rolling hip hop. Say J-Roll, just you're rolling hip hop. Redefinition, say
some point in the fall, I'm gonna have to reload. The Funk Friday stuff. Even though I like these songs.
Was the track before this a new esoteric song? Because he's now with who? He's recording a brand new album with.
He is doing it with Ghostface.
Did you see that the Wu-Tang Clan is coming to the Songus Arena?
Yeah, don't waste your money.
Why?
They're awful. Awful.
Live? Oh, really?
Yes. It's chaos, and you'll never know who's going to show up. There's a whole documentary about it.
They're all on the poster.
The poster is a nice idea.
I wonder if there's actually anything on the poster that says, you know, sometimes there'll be like a convention and it'll say some of these people may not appear at the very bottom in small print. I wonder if they do that for the poster for the Wu-Tang.
There's
Clan
a 90-minute documentary of Wu-Tang getting back together, and they were going to play a festival and headline it, and just how impossible it was to get them there. And then Old Dirty Bastard was still alive, and how he, like, wouldn't get on stage without Brooklyn Zoo. And, like, he was just completely out of his mind. I know shows where, like, Raekwon hasn't showed up.
Yeah.
So go with your... You know, a lot of hip-hop doesn't translate to the stage. And Wu-Tang is that kind of hip-hop act. Now, as revolutionary as they are...
What's weird is that I know that they're playing the... I think it's the Songus Arena... the Songus Center, rather. And the funny thing is, you go to the Wu-Tang Clan's website, it doesn't list that they're playing there.
Yeah, we'll see what goes on.
Always a good sign.
So this is weird.
All right, Luke, hello.
Freddie.
Yes.
Yo, did you get into the Cro-Mags in your 40s? I saw your Instagram post today.
No, it was cute?
Yeah. That you're getting into hardcore when most of us got into it when we were like little kids.
What makes you think of I didn't know about the Cro-Mags until yesterday?
What's your favorite Cro-Mag song?
We gotta know. We gotta know. The hit. I'll admit it.
No Mercy is Show You No Mercy is the only real answer. Demo version, Freddie.
All right.
Oh, we had a guy call in about like, dude, you're not a real Pearl Jam. Is this you're not a real fan talk? Is that
no?
Because
I said I've been listening to a.
When this plays Fenway next year, he has to sit in the back.
What's that?
Would Cro-Mags play Fenway? I heard Agnostic Front in Cro-Mags are playing Fenway. You know, I interviewed Harley Flanagan off the air like a month ago, and it wasn't even worth playing. So
yeah, he's a really weird guy.
Yes, apparently. But I've been listening to a lot of... I read Evolution of a Cro-Magnon, and then I read Meat is for Pussies, and I like some of his message, but I'm never going to stop eating meat.
I think the only thing is like Paris is the only one who's kind of like a halfway normal guy. The rest of them are kind of off the wall.
I'm surprised Paris could survive that scene. Anyway, I think that's enough of you and I having a personal conversation, but thank you, sir.
Talk to you later, Freddie.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, I put something on Instagram about John Joseph. And if you haven't read Evolution of a Cro-Magnon, you don't have to care at all about their music. He doesn't get into it. His life was hell. John Joseph. But you know who he's very influenced by? The bad brains, especially HR.
Who is the weirdest, one of the weirdest guests we've ever had in studio.
And then HR is one of the weirdest people on the planet, according to his own bandmates. All right, Rich. The Bankroll Boys.
Oh, I'm excited. Excited, because now gambling is somewhat legal.
It depends on where you're standing.
Regardless if it's legal or not.
Everyone does it anyway.
Yes, yeah. You got to, and then if you got the chance to pick the minds of two people who have a podcast, just completely devoted to their expertise on sports gambling, including, if you can't sleep, like horse racing from Dubai. This is a place for you to get your fix. So. We'll-